Opportunity to be here with Abuna and Abuna James, to be in this blessed church with the congregation in this great feast of St. Mary, when we are praising and venerate St. Mary, we are feeling that we have great supporter. We are feeling we are very close to the heaven, or the heaven is very close to us. We are feeling this connection between the bride and the bridegroom. Today, the topic, according to the schedule in revivals this year, we will talk about the bridegroom. The word bridegroom, or the title bridegroom for God, was very old in the Old Testament. There is a history. And in the church, we are using this so much. And here, if you are looking to this icon called the icon of the bridegroom. This is the bridegroom of the church. We don't have fancy coronation. We don't have fancy vestment or someone rich. But this is our bridegroom. This is his picture. There is no beauty, there is no rich, but actually that is what he offered. We will go together in journey to see how this title is very important in the Old Testament and how the church adopted. Let me first go together to see the first thing. If yes, we can read this. Every night in the church, every night, the first watch and the midnight praise, we are reading the gospel of the bridegroom with the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. We are reading this every night. Every night, the first hour in midnight, the first watch and the midnight prayer, we are reading this. And we can hear this. At midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Arise and go out to meet him." Our idea today, why our Lord Christ, during his service, during his time on earth, before the crucifixion, he or many others use the term bridegroom. Because if the Bible uses this term more than once, there is something behind. It's not just the word symbolic or just in figure or it's nice word to say. There is something very important to look for, to understand what is the meaning of this word. And also during the midnight praise, the first thing we are saying, "Arise, you children of light." In this parable, the bridegroom and the ten virgins, there is two things, the light and the oil. All the time, the issue with them was the oil, and they don't have oil for the light. And because they are waiting for the coming of the bridegroom. And in midnight prayer, we are saying this also, to praise the Lord of hosts that he may grant us the salvation of our souls. So there is many things linked together. Bridegroom, light, and salvation. And the other one, "So took heed my soul not to fall asleep, entreating that you may meet Christ the Lord with rich oil." That is the oil which causes the light, or help to make the light. If we are going to midnight praise, going to the prayer of the church in the New Testament, you can see plenty of usage of this term. Jesus is the bridegroom. And during the Holy Week, this picture, we don't have during the Holy Week when we put the picture here in the front of everyone from Sunday night till Thursday night, we have this picture. The picture of the bridegroom. The one who is coming to offer himself to his bride. In the Old Testament, there is something start with this. When God created the man, the first creation was what? Huh? Light. The first creation was the light. That is the first thing. And then, when God talk about the man, he said that the man and woman, from the beginning. And he told them, you are the first model of the creation, and the first model of love, the first model you can live together. That's supposed to be. But we couldn't. And sometimes till now we couldn't. We have the same issue from the first creation. So he came to say, okay, let me fix it. But in the Old Testament, God proclaimed himself not just as the Lord or as God, or add the worshiper, the one who come and we have to worship. But he said, look, I'll make a covenant. I'm making a covenant. Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, everyone, we are talking about the covenant. It's not just relationship or regular relationship between the divine one and the people and the human and the earthly. We are talking about the covenant. Covenant is a relationship between two. And each one in this relationship has something to do. Not just one. I'm offering this and you are offering that. We can work together. And in the creation, God said this, look, we have to work together. In Genesis 3, there is something very nice when he's talking about why the earth was without form. There is no planet. There is no anything we can find in the earth. He said in the book of Genesis, because the Lord God didn't send the rain, and in the same time there is no man to work on earth. We are working together. He said from the beginning, look, we have to work together. It's a covenant. It's not just regular relationship between the divine one and the people. I'm asking you to have this special relationship. And God said, look, for me, the sin is not just a transgression. It's not disobedience. The sin, yes, all of that. But for me is more. What is this? It's a spiritual adultery. You betrayed me. When you are going to commit a sin, you break the covenant. Like unfaithful man or unfaithful woman. When we are going to commit a sin, according to the Old Testament, it's not just transgression or disobedience. It is something more. It is something related to God himself. I'm telling him, I'm going to other one. All the time when we are looking to something, we have to go very back till the time of the creation. The first thing, God proclaimed himself with Adam as a friend. we can talk together. And for this talk together, you are talking with me as a friend. I'm telling you something and you're telling me something about your day, about your life. And this discussion or talk or dialogue is the beginning of unity. Is the beginning of unity. And then in this dialogue, there is third part entered and start talking with the man. And the man going to talk with it. It was what? The serpent, says the Satan, the devil. Start talking. It means we are going to have another relationship. For this, when we are going in the Bible, the Lord talking about his voice. We know the voice. He's talking and we have to know the voice. One of the very nice prayer in the Syriac tradition, in the church of Antioch, explain that something very nice, that the Lord, after the crucifixion, went to the Hades to continue the dialogue which stopped with Adam in the heaven. When he went to the Hades, he called and said, Adam, Adam, where are you? Do you remember this voice? The one who called you before. And you were shamed and you can't come because you are naked. You are not naked anymore because I covered you with my grace. One of the prayer in the tradition from the 5th century. It's talking about that we need to talk because it's a covenant. One of the something, yani, inside. One of the biggest issue between man and wife when they stop talking. When they stop talking. Not stop screaming, stop talking. Once we stop talking, there is no life. There is no life. Do you know in Arabic we are saying, حسك بالدنيا? Do you know this word in Arabic? حسك بالدنيا? Just your voice equal to the whole world. Because of what? Because that is the beginning of the relationship and that is the end of the relationship. We can talk together. We can understand each other. The same thing with God. He said, let us talk. Talk with me and listen to me. Because I am the only one I can listen to you. One of the name of God in the Old Testament, the listener. It's in Hebrew, Hashem. The word Hashem, in Arabic we are saying, it's Hashem in Hebrew, means the one who can listen. The only one who can listen to us. When we are saying, hear us and have mercy upon us, because he is the only one can hear. Can hear in the way he can make an action with what he is listening for. So in the Old Testament, God said, look, the sin for me is not just disobedience. It's not just transgression. But it's spiritual adultery. You start having a relationship with other partner. Not me. And that is exactly what he said in the book of Ezekiel. Does say the Lord to Jerusalem, will remember my covenant with you in the days of your youth. And I will establish with you an everlasting covenant. I will establish my covenant with you and you shall know that I am the Lord. That you might remember and be confounded and never open your mouth again because of your shame. That is when the people of Israel went to the others or behind other idols. He looked to them, he said, it's a shame. It's not just disobedience. We will see the other definition for himself. When I forgive you all that you have done, said the Lord God. For him, It's a covenant. It's not just sin or disobedience or I did a mistake. No, it is something more than this for him. In the book of Isaiah, he said this very clear. He said, your maker is your husband. Your creator is your husband. He proclaimed himself this. He said, I am your husband. This is the relationship I want to offer to you. Not less than this. For this, when we are coming to the church, we are not looking to something from him. We are looking to have him. It's big different. It's big different. We are coming to the church. It's a social gathering. I'm so sorry. There is many people making this better than us. Really, better than us. If you're just looking for a social gathering, there is many places outside can do better than us. If you are coming just to get your kids here, it's a good purpose. But still you need something. We are coming to the church because we need something not less than him. We are coming to ask him to be the gift, not anything else. Let me give you an example for this. You know, we are in the season of the election. We don't know who will be, but it's anyway. The one will be. He called someone from the street and said, okay, come. Anything you ask, I'll make an executive order for you to make, to have it. I have the authority to do. And I give you a day to spend with me. So we are coming, and the first thing we have, this great table with food and everything great. I stuffed them very good. And then the time comes and said, okay, now the time. Tell me anything, I give it to you. So I said, you know, the food was very heavy. If you give me a cup of tea, it will be great. Yeah, the tea is great after this meal. But you can ask this for a waiter, not from the prison. When we are sitting with someone, we have to know exactly what we have to ask. Because he said, I'm here. And I'm giving you myself. When you are asking for something, ask for me. Not anything else. Not less than this. St. Paul said, we have to have his mind. His mind. And then he said, I am for Christ and Christ for me. Everything in Christ. In the praise we are saying, he took what is ours and he gave what is his. For this, when we are coming, we are not asking for a gift or for something. We are asking for himself to acquire and to achieve this covenant, this relationship. And we can see the very spiritual meaning and spiritual aspect and the real aspect in the Old Testament between God and the human or the mankind in the Song of Songs. Sometimes we are looking to the Song of Songs as something maybe in the time of people of Israel, how they read, how they understand. This is exactly the word of the Mishnah. Mishnah is the tradition about the interpretation of the Old Testament. One of the rabbi in the Mishnah said, all the ages are not worth the day on which the Song of Songs was given to Israel. For all the writings are holy, but the Song of Songs is the holy of holies. Because this is the meaning of the relationship. We're going, in this book, we are understand more what is the relationship between and the bridegroom and the bride. When the bride called all the nation, all the other girls to come and see her beloved one. That is exactly the work of the church. To call everybody to come and see Christ. See the bridegroom. And we can see all the things. Maybe this will be homework for good people. They can look for this stuff where else in the Bible. Like, him whom my soul loves. I'll give you key for this. What in the commandment said about to love God? Love God from what? Heart, soul, mind, power, everything. And that is exactly what the bride of the songs said. And then, the king has brought me into his chambers. We will exult and rejoice in you. Every Sunday you are saying something. What is this day? Every Sunday. The day of what? The day of rejoice. This is the day of rejoice. And this day we are meeting the bridegroom. We are coming to meet him. We are coming to have the oil to wait him, to wait for his coming. Because this can change everything. I am my beloved's and my beloved's is mine. That is in the Old Testament and very brave. We can spend hours, days, believe me, just to talk about the idea of the bridegroom in the Old Testament. From all aspects. Because God proclaimed himself this. He said this. Look, your creator is your husband. He said. And in the book of Hosea, you can look in this book. You can see Gomer and how many times, and it was a spiritual figure. The first time we can see this, when St. John the Baptist said this very clear, I am not the Messiah, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. So St. John the Baptist proclaimed what? I'm coming to prepare the way of God. The way of the Lord. I'm here. I'm not the Messiah. I'm just here to prepare his way. I am his friend. Friend of who? The bridegroom. The one who was from the beginning. The one who created the light first. The one who created the man and wife. The one who made the first covenant with the people of Israel on the mount. And then going to have this relationship. And he came to fix everything. He came to fix all the unfaithfulness we committed during our life. From Adam, maybe till now. He just came to fix it. And to offer himself in this way. In the way of blood, in the way of love. He said, I'm here. I'm here to fix it. And he continued, the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices with joy because of the voice of he, bridegroom. Therefore, the joy of mine is now fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. That is the first thing in the Gospel of St. John, and that is before anything, before he's talking about the baptism of Christ. He said, I'm not the Messiah. The bridegroom is coming. In the midnight praises, we are saying, we start with the bridegroom is coming. We start this with midnight prayer. And then we are saying in the Lahn Tinein, we follow you, do not forget the covenant. And we are talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This covenant you made from the beginning, and it's the same covenant. You are our bridegroom. We are coming just to change everything. Change everything. When there is a bridegroom in the Bible, gave us this picture about the bride, about Israel, and about the people of Gentiles, the people, the pagan, or the other nations. He said, the one was in the wilderness, has no sons, has no children. She become a mother. She become a mother. She will rejoice. And that is the picture. That is the image. He brought the image of rejoicing, the image of love, the image of redemption, the image of salvation. He proclaimed himself in that way. All the time he is saying, I'm the bridegroom. Just, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for my bride. We have two levels in the church. It is individual level, each soul of us, and we have the church. If we are coming to be in the church, we will be the soul. The one who is offering himself for the one who loved in the beginning, the loved first. When we are coming to the church, we are not asking for something less than him. For this in the liturgy, we are saying, given for the remission of sins and eternal life for those who partake in what? In what? In him. Not in anything else. In him. We are coming here to have this relationship. To be one with him. To be one with him. That is what, how many times in the liturgy we are saying this, in the tasbihah, in the Bible, in the, how many times he's telling us, look, I'm here. Just to have this. Something very nice if we are going to this picture. The bride can call the father of the bridegroom what? Father, right? And that is exactly what we are looking for. We are looking to have this relationship with the father of the bridegroom, with the heavenly father. One of the main words in the prayer of fraction, we are saying all the time, we are saying with boldness without fear. With boldness without fear. We can call your father, our father who art in heaven. Anyone in the world can say our father who art in heaven. But he can't say it in the same manner as the Christian who accepted the bridegroom. Because we have this relationship. We can call him my father anytime. I have this father. One of the writers in the church writes something beautiful. He said, the work of the Christians, every day in the morning, he stand up, he wake up to fight for his right to be the son in Christ. Every day we have to fight for this right. In this country, we are talking all the time about the rights, right? We have right to vote, we have right to do, we have right to speech, we have right sometimes. Stuff like this. All the time we are talking about the right. Sometimes, there is people are trying to take this right away. No, stop thinking. We will think instead of you. Stop doing. We'll do instead of you. Something, sometime. And that is exactly what the Satan is doing. That is his work all the day. To tell us, you have no right to stand and say, my father. You have no right to come to the church. You are very bad. Yes. I am bad enough, so I have to come to the church. Yes. You are right. I'm bad enough to come to the church. In the moment I'm thinking that I'm good enough to come to the church, this is the wrong statement. I have to be bad enough to come to the church. I have to be sick enough to ask for the healer. I have to be weak enough to come and ask for the strength and power. That is the way of Christ. There is no other way. He is offering himself in this way. He offering himself in the way of the bridegroom. There is no beauty. But there is love everywhere. Every single drop in his blood proclaim his love to the world. Again, we follow, do not forget the covenant. The covenant between the bridegroom and his bride. The bride calls all the nation to come and praise. This is what we are saying in the Tisbah. And we are saying in Asumain. All your people, all your nation, come to praise Jesus Christ. Worship Jesus Christ. Know him. Come to know him. Come to know, understand, and maybe you can meet him and to understand his love and his offering for us, even if we are not good bride. But he is looking to us through the eyes of his love. The last thing, the first miracle Jesus did, wedding of Cana of Galilee. He proclaimed himself in the wedding. We'll go through only one word in this. The mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." They have no wine. And Jesus said to her, "What is that to you and to me, woman? My hour has not come yet." My hour has not yet come. The word is "my hour." Keep this word in your mind. But he said, "My hour is not yet. But the idea of Saint Mary when she came to Christ and said, "They have no wine." The wine in the Bible not just related to anything except the rejoice and happiness. In the book of Isaiah, the Lord said, "On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of fat things, a feast of fine wine, of fat things full of marrow, of fine wine were refined. And he will destroy on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the covering that is cast over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth." He's talking about the feast and the wine related to the happiness, rejoice, the true happiness, the true rejoice. Talk about the feast. In that day God will make a feast. So he offered this figure to the people in the wedding of Cana. And he said to Saint Mary, "My hour is not yet." When the hour of Christ came? Before. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that was when he washing the feet of the disciples. It was a feast. It was a wedding, because that is the covenant, the celebrating the covenant between God and the people of Israel in the Passover. And the Lord said, look now, this is my hour. My hour to proclaim my kingdom. Okay, tell us about your kingdom. He said, okay, this is my kingdom. I'm going to wash the feet of my disciples. And he said, do you understand what I'm doing? You have to do the same. This is a feast. This is a wedding. This is a covenant. I can't change everything. I'm not coming in the image of the master. I'm not coming to the image of in the image of the king. But I'm coming in the image of the bondservant, like St. Paul said. I'm coming to tell you more about how we can serve. How can we offer love? How can we wash the feet of each other? How can we understand His work? We have to understand first His work for us, and then we can offer. Sometimes we are talking about how can I offer Christ to the people. First, I have to understand how He offered Himself to me first. Sometimes we are looking, maybe it's a time to debate between different religions. It's a time to say, I'm right because I am believe in that. But He told us the way you have to offer yourself, as I offered myself first. I offered myself in this image, the image for the one who come to serve, not to be served. It's big difference. If just we are thinking that we can change anything without His love, His offers. And the Lord said here, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. And during supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands. I have everything. My Father gave me everything. Now, with the same hands, I'm going to wash the feet of my disciples. And that He had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside His garment, and girded Himself with a towel. The Lord said, you are those who have continued with me in my trials. As my Father covenanted a kingdom to me, so do I covenant to you that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Till the end, He is telling us, I am the bridegroom. I'm preparing to you the table. I'm preparing to you the food, the spiritual one. Come and eat. If you need to acquire wisdom, come. If you need to acquire love, come. If you need to acquire Christ, come. This is the way of the church. The last thing, Saint Cyril of Jerusalem, one of the great fathers in the church, he said, Jesus once in Cana of Galilee turned the water into wine by a word of command at Cana in Galilee. Should we not believe Him when He changed wine into His blood? It was when He had been invited to an ordinary bodily marriage that He performed the wonderful miracle at Cana. Should we not be much more ready to acknowledge that to the sons of the bridal chamber He has granted the enjoyment of His body and blood? He's telling us every day, come and eat. Partake in me. Not in anything less than me. I'm here. This is the tree of life. Come to have life. Come to have knowledge. Come to have this relationship with the bridegroom. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.